Wait, what is that? That's not water.
Right here, girl.
What's in that cup?
It's some wine, girl. Some red wine.
Yes. Come on. Treat yourself. Girl. What kind is it? What's like the varietal?
I think just off the top of my head, it's a Malbec. I think it's. Yeah.
A Malbec is delightful. I love it. Mm-mm-mm. I love it. It's also the wine I recommend for people, like when you're just introducing a red wine to them, because it's not super dry. Like, it's just dry enough. I love it. It's so good.
It's got that fine line. I think the more I've had before, I've had a Shiraz and maybe a Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir, alien superstar.
Yes. But Malbec, I seem to be coming back to.
Yes.
It's good.
What are you doing? Why is it so hot in here? The menopause. Okay, it's the menopause.
I know. Like, I'm going to start sweating bullets now after starting this glass of red wine. It always starts when I drink wine.
Yeah, well, yes. Yes. It's boiling in here, though. And it's like 100 degrees outside. Mm. And the room I just left, it's like 60 degrees in there. It's July 30th, 2023. I'm staring at my phone screen, typing and deleting the same DM over and over again.
I had no idea someone across the ocean was looking at my Instagram profile, debating whether to reach out.
My sister had given me a gentle nudge. Here's a woman with a story just like you.
Two black women, pregnant at the same time, both with cancer. What are the odds?
Sometimes the people who love us see exactly what we need before we do. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Chantal.
Welcome to Everything After. It's beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Like, when I say we're professionals.
I mean, you said it. You said it.
I can't boost us up anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Ugh. I'm excited about today because we get to finally share like how we know each other and share our story. This has actually been like the episode that I've been looking forward to the most because it's like our origin story. It is like the anchor in which this is built. And yes, so today we're telling the story of how we found each other. And we're going back into time to kind of when we were feeling really isolated and feeling really disconnected. How lonely were you before like we connected? Like what was that like? Ugh. How did that feel before like the reach out?
Well, I just felt like I was kind of one in a million.
Mm-hmm.
Before meeting not only women that have been pregnant and have had a cancer diagnosis in whatever way that came about, first or last, but just meeting people that gets me and I get them.
Yeah.
I think that was the hardest thing to kind of overcome as well. So yeah, it was like trying to find new friends, and the thing that is keeping the friendship together is a cancer diagnosis.
I know.
That's weird.
It's weird. It's weird. So for me, it's like, it's wild how anytime something significant happens in my life, I rush to the internet, like searching for some kind of meaning or, you know, searching for, is there somebody out there who is going through what I'm going through? And so I remembered I got my diagnosis, cried a bit, and then immediately went on to Instagram and started searching like hashtag pregnant with cancer, hashtag cancer while pregnant, just trying to find someone, anyone, anybody out there who had this experience. But yeah, this episode really is about us finding each other, and we hope that it's going to help you reach out to someone or reconnect with someone or find your community, find your person. If you're listening to this and you are, you know, in the chemo chair, you're going through it, you're experiencing something traumatic and wondering and thinking, oh, am I the only person out there that is going through this? I guarantee you, you're probably not. And so we hope that this episode inspires you to make a connection today. it just might change your life. How are you feeling going back to a time where we were talking about being so isolated and lonely and cancer ridden?
And, you know, sick and bedbound and pregnant and, you know, all that stuff.
All that stuff.
It feels like, I don't know, I'm saying this, but I've got a smile on my face. Like, even though it was such a lonely experience, look at what we've got now.
Girl.
Like, look at
Girl.
This. If we didn't meet, this would not be happening with
Hello.
Me.
Hello.
So.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
We're going to get there.
No, I feel the same exact way. I don't know. I'm just so excited to get into it because it really was a sense of me, like, I talk myself out of reaching out so many times. So we are in 2023. It's July. It's the summer. Well, actually for you, we have to like really start back because you were diagnosed in March. So let's start with what were you looking for? Like in a support group, what was your experience when you first got diagnosed in terms of looking for support and community?
Remember, you know, kind of including myself into different cancer groups and different new mom groups, forums to see, you know, what other people's journeys are, what is their success story being, how they found it. And I think I just felt that I didn't quite fit in to any of those categories. You know, the breast cancer groups, I just felt too young.
Mm-hmm.
Based
mm-hmm.
on the diagnosis ages for breast cancer, and then felt too old for the AYA groups, the adolescent and young adult groups.
Not you feeling too old.
I know. But then going on there, even though I'm still in that age range, I went on to the dedicated AYA ward. And I'm seeing like Xbox and DVDs and PlayStations. I'm like, okay.
And you should have been like, run me that controller real quick. Exactly. Let me get up on that. That's what you should have been like.
Y'all got Mario Kart? Okay. Plug it in now. Bed 4? Come on. You replay it too. Come on. You know, not really feeling like I can fit into any of those groups. I remember we used to take Ethan to a playgroup and it was just so intermittent when I could find the energy to actually go there. And we would...
Being around other moms...
My God.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. But that just triggered a suppressed trauma.
My gosh. Well, luckily with this group, there were moms there. Dads or grandparents would like come there as well. So it was kind of mixed. So I think what I was just looking for, or what I was hoping to find, was just a connection to someone who gets it. You know, there was a few moms who I found were having chemo whilst pregnant at that same time, or they just finished or something along those lines. But the conversation wasn't there. Like you reach out and you have that first like big message of, oh, this is when I was diagnosed, this is my treatment plan, and this is how far along I was in the pregnancy. What about you? Vice versa. And then it just kind of dies down.
It's never just like a, hey, I'm me. How are you? It is legit. Hey, I'm me. Insert entire medical history and life story of the last 6 months. How are you? Like, it's never, you're burying your soul because you want to reach out with some context. So like, I get it. It's such a, and then when it fizzles out, it's like, So you were in search of community and finding people to talk to and connect with, but it wasn't giving what it was supposed to give. It wasn't giving.
Oh my gosh. I remember like messages, sending out messages, and then just getting like not really a full-on response back, or just it just being like kind of one-sided, or it would just fizzle out. And I'm like, okay, all right. Okay.
Have a nice life.
Hard. Yeah. It's hard to make friends, man. It's hard to make friends in general.
It's so hard to make friends as an adult.
Yes.
It is the most intimidating thing for me to do. Mm-hmm. And I watch my kids do it all the time. And I'm like, how are y'all so good at this?
Yes. Yeah. They run off and come back and be like, so my friend, what?
The way my children have made me a reluctant extrovert, I'm like, y'all talk too much. But then it's also like, I appreciate it because it brings me out of my shell. Mm-hmm. I always am so grateful for reaching out or making the connection. But I'm with you. Making friends as an adult is so hard. I'm almost 40 and I feel like I'm just now starting to get the hang of it. Whereas because of this experience with you and I, the overall experience of having cancer, it just made me a lot more open. Yeah. Because you have to show up vulnerable. Like you have no choice, especially when you're in it. You know, you don't have any hair. You got no eyebrows. You're a walking story before you even open your mouth. Like people are already making assumptions about you while you're in that cancer, while you have cancer, like people are already making assumptions about you before you even open your mouth. So for me, it was always like, oh, I have cancer. Okay, next question. But I was in the same place as you in that time period, those early weeks of diagnosis. It was very much like, I need to find somebody, you know, I need some kind of support. This feels like such a unique thing. Someone had recommended a website to me, but I found it to be super outdated. And like, there was nobody on there that looked like me. And I was just like, okay, next. I joined the Facebook group. And I just felt like with every single post, it just made me even more terrified. It was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. I'm, you know, which is a very real reality in this community. But I felt like I didn't have the capacity to like, consume that while I was in it. Sure. You know, my capacity is a lot different for consuming that kind of energy these days. But back then when like I was super in it, it was really terrifying. It was really upsetting for me. And so I was like, I gotta get out of here. I was like, okay, so maybe I can search on TikTok or maybe I can search on Instagram. And I typed in every single combination of like pregnant with cancer while Black, pregnant with cancer and ovarian cancer. Like every single thing, I probably typed it in the search engine and didn't really find what I was looking for until I found you. You see that? That was a beautiful one. But seriously, I did not find what I was looking for. And then one day, like my sister just reached out and she was like, hey, this person followed me. You should reach out.
The rest is history. And the rest is history. The rest is this podcast. That's what it is.
Wait.
The rest is everything after.
Say it again.
The rest is everything after.
Clock it.
Get it clocked.
How about last night, Sammy was crashing out and I was playing Lemonade on the record player and Six Inch Heels came on and he's in the background like crashing out and I'm just like skidding.
Heels.
I was like, she comes late. I was like,
you were doing
full-throated voice. I was giving a vocal, okay? And he's in the background like screaming.
That was me the other day when I was in the car and I had the kids in the back. Oh, come on. Was it resentment?
Oh, I know you were belting. Belting.
Belting. I was so glad I was parked.
Singing down.
Holding onto that steering wheel, just going back and forth. I know she was a tracker. And I've just got the kids in the back just going, Mommy. I know she was attractive. That was here first. That's what we did. Hey, stop. Memory. Oh my gosh.
Singing right through it.
Yeah.
Like, this is mommy time. 6 inch heat. She work for the money.
Yeah.
She's stacking money everywhere she go.
I can't.
And he's looking at me like, will you stop? No. I won't stop until you stop.
No.
We're both in here crashing out. We're going to crash out together.
No. Okay. So, girl, Girl.
Yes, girl.
Girl.
Yes,
girl.
Yes.
Tell me about the moment. What was it like reaching out to me on Instagram? What was that hesitation there? Tell me that story.
So my sister reached out like early July, I would say. And, you know, we're always sending these things back and forth, like memes, hee hee, ha ha. But she reached out and she like had a link to your profile. And she said, I think you should reach out because y'all have similar stories. And I looked at it and I was like, knowing that I was just like, I'm not doing that.
No.
Come on. I'm not going to do that. Okay. But thank you for the suggestion. I won't be doing that, though. Appreciate it. I have this internal sensor where if I know I'm supposed to do something, like it'll like the sensor will just keep going off. It will keep going off until I do it. And so I remember, I think I probably stalked your page for like weeks. I would see your updates and I'd be like, oh, she's cute. Her family's cute. I was like, oh, she's funny. I was like, okay, yeah. And I think even my sister had reached out at one point and she was like, have you reached out yet? And I was like,
girl,
I haven't had the time. Mind you, I was really just like in treatment and working.
So for you, it's like you ain't got a time.
I actually had nothing but time.
You had
that's neither here nor there. I had plenty of time. And so I just remember I just kept stalking your page and I don't know what it was. I have weird hangups about this kind of stuff. Like I don't do cold reach outs unless it's for like my job. You know, just reach out to people I don't know. It's just a weird hangup I have. And I don't know if it's because, you know, I think I run all these scenarios in my head where I'm like, well, what if they think I'm like a weirdo, or what if they ghost me? I'm unpacking all of this in therapy, by the way, but I do feel like it is, I just have these weird hangups. And so I legit would just look at your page, and that went on for about a month or so. Maybe three-ish weeks, three and a half weeks of me just let me just see what she's doing. Oh, she's up there. Oh, she's drinking Sprite. Wow, they have Sprite over there? Oh my God. I was just very involved in your life. And then I think it was July 30th, 2023. It was literally the day before my second round of chemo. And I just had one of those days where I was basically like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to do it.
What's the
worst that can happen? And then I also knew, I was like, I'm going to be out of town that weekend. So I was like, if she doesn't respond, I'll have like something to fall back on. I'll be in New Orleans. So I reached, I have the message here. Chatty receipts. Okay. I reached out and it was July 30th, 2023. And I said, hi, Chantel. You recently followed my older sister and she wanted us to connect due to us having similar stories. I'm 28 weeks pregnant with my second child and was diagnosed with early stage ovarian cancer at 24 weeks. I was calling it early stage because I did not know my stage. Currently undergoing chemotherapy treatment, starting my second round on Monday. I haven't shared my story publicly yet, but I just wanted to say hello and let you know that you are not alone in this fight. I sent that and I like threw my phone. I think I turned off notifications on Instagram. Wow. I'm extra like that. I was like, I don't even want to engage. Like, cause I was like, I don't want to, you know, if she does respond, I don't want to respond like too quickly. Hangups. I have hangups on this. And yeah, the rest is history. What I want to know is how did you feel? What was going on when you received that message? It's like, this is the first time I've ever asked this question.
I saw that message and I was like, okay. First, I will admit, I checked out your profile first. I was like, okay, let me make sure she's legit, okay? A lot of people have ghosted me, so I just want to make sure, you know, make sure the conversation is good, okay? So my response was very... like what we said earlier, you know, you have to put your complete medical history over the past 6 months, what's been going on. So I took a while to craft my response and send it back to you. But I was excited because I think just off the top of my head, you were probably one of few people that actually reached out to me. And then we were just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I was like, oh my gosh. Wow, I can actually talk to her.
So he was locked in.
Yeah, we were locked in. I was genuinely so happy when I got that message and the conversation was giving. I was like, yes.
Yeah. From the start, it was like, oh, she responded. I don't think there was any lag. It really did feel like we had known each other for years. I think we got kind of the initial rundown out the way. And then we just kind of picked up like we had legit known each other all of our lives. Yeah. It never felt to me like, oh, this is a person I just met. It's never felt that way. Mm. Even like now in this process, I'm like, I didn't know that about you. I guess that makes sense because we've only known each other amount of time. Yeah. It's only been 2 years.
It's been a couple of years.
So yeah, this is what I've needed.
Mm.
When did you realize that it wasn't just like a one-off conversation?
Once we got the cancer stuff kind of out the way, so to speak, once that thread was pulled, then there were so many other threads that popped up in that as well.
Uh-huh.
Because not only, okay, once we spoke about chemo and how that was going, then it was like, oh my gosh, now we have to navigate newborns. And we're both like dealing with newborns and another child as well. And then once we pull that thread, then we're dealing with home life and work life when we went back to work. There were still so many things that we could talk about. The conversation just, it never lacked. It was always fruitful. It was just always something, always on the go. We could always talk about something and it was just refreshing and it just felt natural to just not have to cold switch. You know? Mm-hmm. And we could just be like, girl. And we could, you know, talk in Beyonce lyrics until our heart is content.
The Beyonce connection.
Girl, talk to me.
That was really the thing. I think you're one of the very few people that I have proposed friendship to. Remember when I did that in the WhatsApp? In the Instagram chat, I was like, I think I'm ready to have your phone number. I think I'm ready to move this conversation outside of the walls of Instagram.
Yes.
And onto WhatsApp. That was a moment. And I do think it was because it was around the time of the Renaissance. And so we were
Renaissance. Yes.
Renaissance. Okay. Sorry, we can go all day. We won't do that.
We won't.
But I think it was around that time. And so we were talking about the tour. We were talking about the album. I think she had just left London, maybe. I think she was in touring Europe at the time. So I think that's how we got on to. I don't know.
Yeah. It's.
I just remember, as soon as you said, "I love Beyonce," I was like, "Oh no,
hey.
I was like,
"Yeah,
sold,
yeah,
sold,
yeah, yeah,
sold,
yeah." We are now locked in,
You know, and so for me, that was defining for me because it was. We've talked about it now across a couple of episodes, but I will say, that album, that tour, it's so visceral of that time in my life, of that time in our life, because it was going on, like the tour was happening while we are in the middle of this.
Yes.
And so every time I think about that time, I think about that album, I think about that tour, I think about what that meant to us. And if we ever get a chance to tell Beyonce Giselle Knowles this, like, girl, you Like, you gave us so much light in a time that was, in a time that was super tough, neither here nor there. I just remember too, just the fact that our babies were so close.
Yes.
You know, like our pregnancies were so close. So our kids are this, like, the same age, born in the same exact month, you know, born 2 weeks apart from each other. And so that was also just a really fun experience to share. Like, not only did I have you to go through this cancer experience with, isn't it an experience?
It's something, girl. It's something.
Experience. I don't like calling it a journey either, but going through that and also being pregnant, it just really felt like, man, I struck gold. Mm-hmm. I struck gold. It truly felt like there was somebody up there, like, truly looking out for me, mm-hmm. because they knew exactly what I needed. I'm like, God bless big sisters who meddle when, you know, you're like, girl,
it's
the last thing I want to be doing right now. Mm-hmm. But okay, you got it. Yeah. You got it. God bless older sisters who truly know what's best for you when you don't know what's best for yourself. How did it feel kind of telling people, I met this person in the U.S. and we talk every day now? Because we started talking regularly.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like daily.
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 Daily. Like, it didn't even feel like there was time zone. Have we?
What a sleep.
Have we even said good morning and good night?
No.
How regular we talk.
Never. Like, what was it like? What was it like explaining, like, to your husband and to your family of, like, I'm talking to a stranger and it's like, we talk all the time. And she also has cancer and is pregnant.
It was, you know what? It's always exciting when I talk about how we met and it's like, oh, yeah, so, like, you know, I'm just speaking to my friend. Like, she lives in America, you know? And they're like, ooh, okay.
Please do not. They do not. No, they do not. They ooh, do. Like, that over to America.
They do. Because it's just, no one expects me to say that I'm speaking to someone who lives in America. So when I say it and they're like, oh, really? I'm like, yes, really. Our stories have gone international now. So, you know, it's always exciting to talk about this story. I always have a smile on my face talking about it, even though it was the most harrowing experience for us. No, I'm like, yeah, you know, my girl. Yeah, I always love talking about this story. I love it.
Oh my gosh, I do too, friend. It is, to sound cheesy, I'm made of cheese half the time. It's truly like one of my favorite chapters. Like, if I'm writing the book of my life, this story is 100% like my favorite chapter. Mm. Because truly, it's something that I couldn't even write for myself to be in. And everything that has come after it, didn't mean to do that. Mm. Everything that has come after it, now meeting other women who also had similar experiences and meeting them in different point and at a different point of their recovery. So not mm-hmm. while they're directly in it, mm-hmm. but like meeting them after it and helping them and learning how they're navigating through it and being able to pick up the phone. And, you know, I have a group chat going with a group of women who we met at camp. Camp Bresti, shout out to Camp Bresti. And, you know, now we're all in a group chat together. And it's like talking to them and being like, oh, yeah, girl, like, you know, I got some nerve pain going on. Is this story? Like, being able to have those conversations. And even when I texted you the other day of just like, girl, I got this really bad massage. And I think it's the greatest gift that I could have ever given myself. And it's a constant reminder of just how much comes from me stepping out of my comfort zone when I risk something, which I guess the thing I risked by reaching out was, you know, my pride. If you would have been like, girl, get out of my inbox and go get well soon and get out of my inbox.
Yeah.
Like my pride. But when I truly do step out and take risk and exit my comfort zone, more times than not, I never regret it. Like, I truly never regret it. And so every time we talk, every time, you know, we're up at 1 o'clock in the morning, my time, kicking, and you're like, girl, why aren't you asleep? It's a reminder to myself that, oh man, I'm so glad I gave myself this gift of just making that initial contact and not being afraid of what was on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. Just like sending the message, throwing my phone across the bed and walking away.
Yes. Yes.
I'm so glad. And I'm so, so grateful that the last 2 years have had you in it. I really am. It's been a really sweet treat for me.
Okay, girl. How did our friendship bond change your recovery experience?
Oh, that's good. I think it made it just more manageable, you know? So when I finished treatment, I think by that time you were starting like another treatment.
Yeah.
So at first, I got to be honest, I don't think I've ever told you this. Oh. At first, I felt bad because I had like rang my bell. I was done with active treatment. And so I was kind of really getting back into some normalcy. And I did feel like there was a window of time, not long, but a window of time where it was like our conversations kind of like got a little quiet.
Yes.
Because I didn't know what to say. Mm-mm-mm. And it was like, okay, I'm over this hump. I'm over the immediate thing that has brought us together.
Yes.
Like I've gotten over that hump. I'm not in treatment anymore because for a while, like that was what kind of our conversations kind of hinged around treatment and, you know, how we were feeling with our side effects and then like a little bit of postpartum stuff once the kids got here. And so I remember when I finished active treatment that November and with the holidays and everything, it just felt like it just got quiet and then my dad died and then life was lifing. And so, but I know for me, I had a feeling of just, I mean, it's not survivor's guilt because we both survived. We were both surviving, but I did have like this guilty feeling of, man, I'm done. And like Shan is still going through it, you know, like she's still in it. And a part of me at that time just didn't know, I guess, how to be supportive. And, you know, I felt like, again, my own hangups, it just felt unfair. And in the initial recovery phase, I just felt like there was just wasn't a sense of balance. And I could tell there was a unintentional pulling away. But then once we kind of got over that, I don't know. And I think it just kind of naturally, I think it naturally just happened, you know, between me finishing treatment, my dad dying. Mm-hmm. I think you also had a really big loss around that time as well. Mm-hmm. I think we just kind of found our way back. Mm-hmm. And then it became like a, oh, hey, girl, how's it going? And then it became, we just started talking about kid stuff and, you know, day-to-day stuff. And so once we started talking about that, it was like, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. Like this is an actual factual friendship at this point, you know? And so all that to say, I think that this 2 years in, I think that this connection, this friendship, it truly has been such a huge part of my recovery. I just think having someone to talk to in general who gets it and who knows exactly what you're going through, who knows the emotions that come with bringing life into the world while also fighting for your own life, who knows what that experience feels like. I think it's been nothing but positive, even though at the beginning when we were in those stages and we were like in those different stages, It felt a little, like I said, unfair. But now it truly is. It's been wonderful. I look back on it and I am like, I don't know how I would have made it the last 2 years, especially the last year without this connection. You know, it really has been a lifeline for me of just, girl, you up? Can you talk? Can I I? And I think the time difference makes it a little bit easier because I always know if I'm texting you at like 1 o'clock in the morning, you're more than likely getting up for the day. Oh, so yeah. I'm just like, I'm not bothering you, you know? I'm just like, okay, hey girl,
Yeah. There's not that much, like, even though we have a time difference, like you said, the times that we message, it doesn't feel like there's that much of a gap.
Yeah. What is the impact of this connection? What's the impact of it on how you saw your own story? Because you were sharing before, and you kind of stopped sharing, and now you're kind of sharing a bit more, I guess. I don't know. You'd be acting brand new. You don't want to share. What's the impact of this relationship?
I think for me, like, outside of my immediate people, you're one of the ones that know this whole story from the start to where I am now. So being able to navigate that whole experience together and just trauma bond and healing bond. And like I said before about going through our chemo and to having our newborns, and you're just able to just kind of get on with it because you've got someone else there going through it as well. And I just feel like it's everything's just kind of naturally just kind of flowed to where we are now. I remember Aaron told me to ask you for your number. I was like, I'm not gonna ask her for a number. That's personal.
Are you crazy?
You don't want to give it to me? I'm not gonna ask her for a number. Oh my gosh. I think time went by and it was like, are you not going to ask her? Why are you still messaging on Instagram? Like, no. I'm not sure. And then you put the meters out there. I was like, oh, she's asked me. So I'm going to send my number and then we can message. Then immediately it flowed from there.
Remember when I sent you flowers? We sent each other flowers. We sent each other flowers.
We sent each other, how much did we send? Like, on the gift card, how much should we send?
Listen, Chantel is going to be good for a gift card on your birthday. Yes. Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just.
Was so surprised. She was like, how did you manage to send flowers to the UK? Like, what is happening?
Girl, when we say this friendship is international, we mean international. It covers all facets of what a normal local friendship would be like.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. Besides us being a whole plane ride away, we're good.
Who knows when we're going to meet? Who knows when we're going to meet in person? Who can say? I have been trying to get her over here, y'all, for the longest. So we shall see. It might be easier for me to go over there, to be honest.
At this point, yeah. At this point.
But, oh my goodness. I just love you so much, girl. Like, I really do feel like I hope whoever this episode lands with, that send the message, send the text, comment under their post.
Yeah.
You know, send the DM. Even if it feels weird, like you could be keeping yourself from a relationship that's going to really change your life and make your life better. And we're living in such a time now where, oh my God, community is so important. It's so, it's so essential. I was just listening to another podcast on my commute this week and they're basically talking about Michelle Obama podcast, which I love. But she was basically talking about just how important community is. But also, you have to be intentional with it. It's just not gonna fall into your lap.
Yeah.
You have to work at seeking it out. And you also have to work to maintain it. So this is your reminder to be intentional about seeking it out. But also then, once you find it, be intentional about making sure it stays alive and checking in on each other. And I will send you a wellness check meme in a minute. Like, hey, I ain't heard from you in a couple days.
Yeah. When I was moving house and I just went ghost and you was like, girl, do not make me jump on the plane. Message me back now.
Right now. That's how I am with people who I talk to every day. Like, hey, ayo, where you been?
Yeah.
Where you been? Because we're usually shooting the breeze by this hour. Where you been?
We're back to back.
Where the hell you at?
Where are you?
Where you been? So yeah, you have to be intentional about, and I know it's hard. Like we're all busy. We're all doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like truly busy. Not me being busy. Not me saying I was busy. Like I said I was busy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't want to send that DM.
Yeah.
But like we are all busy. I know we have busy lives. But if you're thinking about somebody, if you want to reconnect with somebody, I hope that this is the episode that gives you the push to do that.
Next episode, we're talking about how we both check. No. Let me start again.
I liked it. You were giving next time on Moesha. That's what you were.
No.
I liked that. Okay. No. All right. I liked it.
No.
Next time.
No. It's giving okay. TV presenter. It was giving too much. I was up there. I didn't need to be that high. I heard myself. I was like, girl, bring your ass down. No. Well, that's too high. Next episode, we're talking about how we've both changed since treatment ended. Who we were before, who we became, and who we're becoming now.
If you're listening and you're in the searching phase, whether for community, understanding, or just someone who gets it, keep reaching out.
Your story matters. Your experience has value. And somewhere out there, someone needs to hear exactly what you've been through.
If you found your person through shared experience, whether illness, loss, or any major life change, we want to hear about it.
Email us at everythingafterpod@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at everythingafterpod. Seriously, we read every message.
And if you know someone who's looking for their people, share this with them. Sometimes the most meaningful connections come from the most unexpected places.
Thanks for being a part of our community.
We will see you next time on Everything After.